Welcome to my commentary on Paul's letter to the disciples in the province of Galatia, otherwise known as the Book of Galatians. We pick up on my commentary of Galatians here in chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. This is a confusing section, and many commentators just seem to skim over this. So I will read it first, then I will go back and make my comments. Verse 17, if, while we seek to be justified in Christ, if it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. There's a lot in this passage here, and I need to explain it phrase by phrase. The first thing I need to do is tell you, Paul is not changing the subject. This is in the context of Paul rebuking Peter to his face in front of the other brothers who were sent from Jerusalem, as well as the Galatian Gentile Christians. So we need to think of that as we understand these verses. Verse 17, if while we seek to be justified in Christ, the word we means everybody in the room that is watching Paul rebuke Peter. He says, all of us guys in this room are seeking to be justified by Jesus. That was a correct statement, because even the Jews from Jerusalem wanted to be justified by Jesus. So again, in verse 17, if we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evidence that we ourselves are a sinner. Does that mean Christ promotes sin? Now, he's saying, okay, we're seeking to be justified by Jesus, but in the process, if we commit a sin, does that mean Christ promotes sin? The particular sin that Paul is talking about here is Peter's sin of hypocrisy. What Paul is really saying is, if we, and if Peter, while in the process of being justified by faith in Jesus, commits a sin like withdrawing himself from the Gentiles, does that mean that Jesus Christ himself is promoting that sin? What does that mean? Well, think about it this way. If the Gentile believers see Peter withdraw, and Peter being a man of God and a leader in the church throughout the known world, if Peter withdraws in fellowship with the Gentiles any longer, and that is a sin, does that mean Peter represents Jesus in that sin? Does that mean Jesus is in agreement with that sin? Does that mean that Jesus himself is promoting Peter's sin? Absolutely not. Paul is saying Peter is in the process of being justified by faith in Jesus. He had just committed a sin, but listen, guys, Jesus is not in favor of that sin, and he is not promoting it. That's the simplest explanation of verse 17. Verse 18, if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. What does that mean? Now, first of all, he's still speaking to Peter in front of everybody, but instead of saying, putting Peter's name in there, or even instead of inserting the pronoun we, he's putting it back on his own shoulders. He says, listen, guys, if I rebuild what I destroyed, I become a lawbreaker. The question is, what is Paul talking about when he uses the word destroyed. If I rebuild what I destroyed, well, what has been destroyed in context is the law of Moses. The law of Moses has been destroyed. And for the modern Christian who wants to revert back to what they call our Jewish roots, this is hard for them to get their heads around. But the simple fact is, Paul, in this verse, says that the law of Moses has been destroyed, and Peter's actions, by not associating with the Gentile believers, in effect, Peter is trying to rebuild what he destroyed. He's trying to put the law of Moses back together that has been destroyed. And in Paul's mind, that is one bad sin. And in the process of trying to put the law back together, you're sinning. And that sin alone tells Paul that Peter is a lawbreaker. Peter, in his actions, wants to rebuild what he destroyed in the law of Moses, but his action was sinful. He breaks the law he's trying to put back together. That's Paul's logic. Verse 19 says, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God." It's another toughie for Bible scholars to figure out, but it's simple. For through the law I died to the law. Simply put, the law killed Paul. There was no way he could obey each and every 613 rules. The harder he tried, the harder it was, the more frustrated he got. The rules he was trying to obey killed him. It just knocked him down to the ground day after day. And so this is why he says, "For through the law, I died to the law." I died to the law because it killed me. But that's fine, because really what I'm supposed to be doing, as he says in verse 19, "so that I might live for God." The ultimate thing is to live for God. And what does that mean? He explains in the next few verses. Verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." This is an important issue. Many Christians do not understand what the cross of Christ is all about. They think it's just a matter of getting our sins forgiven, but that's not so. The cross of Christ is a multifaceted event. All sorts of things happened while Jesus was executed on the cross. One thing that happened is what Paul says here. He himself was executed along with Jesus. Now, this is hard to get our heads around, but this is how that works out. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our place. So when God the Father saw Jesus dying on the cross, he not only saw Jesus dying on the cross, he saw you and I dying on the cross, because Jesus took our place. He was our representative on the cross. Therefore, God viewed you and I as dying on the cross as well. It is a fact of life that each and every human being in the world died on the cross with Jesus in the sight of God. So Paul acknowledges the fact here in Galatians 2, verse 20, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." But obviously he lives in one sense of the word, but in another sense of the word, he doesn't. But it's Christ lives in me. Christ is the one that lives in Paul, because he viewed himself as being dead. Christ, through the Holy Spirit who lived in Paul, is what kept Paul alive in his mortal body. "The life that I now live in the body," so he's recognizing the fact that he's not physically dead, because he still lives a life in this physical body. "But the life he lives in this physical body, he lives by faith in the Son of God. The life that Paul lives, every moment of that life, he lives by trusting the Son of God. Becoming a Christian is not just getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven. It's trusting each and every moment of your life, no matter where you are or what you're doing, with the Son of the living God. He goes on to say, who, meaning Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in humanity, loved Paul so much that he gave himself. He was executed on the cross for Paul. And by now, you know what? Peter had to have been thinking. Paul was not at the foot of the cross when Jesus died, but Peter was. Peter understood the death of Jesus. He was there. He was there when Jesus was arrested. Peter cut the soldier's ear off. Peter was in the courtyard when Jesus was being interrogated. When the cock crowed after Peter denied Jesus, Peter felt horrible. His heart sank to his stomach. He wept bitterly. I believe when Paul said that the Son of God loved him and gave himself for him, I think that hit home with Peter. And the feelings that Peter felt when that cock crowed were the feelings he felt at Paul's rebuke here. Peter felt horrible in front of everybody in this room. He knew Jesus died for him. And now what he was doing by trying to add something else like the law of Moses, his heart was full of sorrow. Verse 21 is very important. It's the last verse of the chapter. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, meaning the law of Moses, Christ died for nothing. Paul is saying, if my standing as being perfectly right in who I am, not just in what I do, but in who I am, if that comes from me obeying the 613 laws of the law of Moses, then the Lord Jesus Christ died for nothing. And again, I'm convinced that when Paul said these words, Peter's heart was broken. And I would not be surprised if tears fell from his eyes. Paul was saying, guys, if you want to add obedience to the law of Moses to faith in Christ, then you're saying that Jesus died for you for nothing. And that is one horrible sin. But do you know what? Evangelicals have been tempted with that very sin. Over the years, evangelical Christians have said, yes, come to Jesus, rely on him for salvation, but in order to maintain, to keep your salvation, you can't do certain things. You must do other certain things. When I was a child, going to a movie, even if it was a Billy Graham movie, which there was in the early 1970s, Johnny Cash, The Gospel Road, a good Christian movie, was in the movie theaters. For me to go to watch that movie was a sin because it was in a movie theater. The evangelical church told me that if I wanted to maintain and keep my salvation, I could not go to that movie theater to watch that movie. That's telling Jesus, yes, what you did on the cross was good, but we need to add a rule, and that is to maintain and keep our salvation, one cannot go to a movie theater. That's doing exactly what Peter did in this chapter. It's adding to the cross of Christ. And if we add anything to the cross of Christ, It's telling Jesus what he did on the cross was not good enough. And in reality, we are saying Jesus died for nothing. We need to understand what Paul is saying in the book of Galatians, because this verse 21 is the crux of the whole book of Galatians. Again, for further explanation of Galatians chapter 2, 17 to 21, you can visit my website, stevesweetman.com, and find my written commentary on the book of Galatians.